The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hello, 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 everyone. Tracy Thompson here with the amazing, incomparable Spencer Ward. Say hi, Spencer.
How you doing, guys?
Today, we are going to chat a little bit here with Mr. Spencer. Spencer has been with us a while, haven't you, Spencer?
Yeah, it's been, I can't remember now. I think it's 2017.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. So in context, you'd been in business for about 5 years. In fact, I'll share with everybody listening in. Spencer started New Clean Commercial Cleaning in January 2013 in Pocatello, Idaho. Yeah. And his company helps charter schools and property managers focus on what they're actually getting paid to do instead of cleaning. So just a little background on Mr. Spencer here. And we're just going to dive right in. I have some really, I think, intriguing questions that our Clean Nation inquiring minds want to know.
Sweet.
Ready to go?
Good.
Awesome. Well, before the podcast started, we were chatting a little bit about the nature of interim business versus recurring business. And I know this is a really hot topic for a lot of cleaning company owners out there. So, Spencer, maybe you can share with everyone here what your thoughts are on the difference between reoccurring, like every single month, steady business, and the interim reoccurring business that you get in spurts.
Well, for me, like the difference between like the reoccurring, work and the stuff that just comes in here and there and you take when you want it is the stability. Mm. Number one, you got to have reoccurring stuff built up first.
Yes.
I hope everyone can learn from my mistakes. From when I started, I know everyone has, you maybe have a little bit of reoccurring, but then you're like, oh, I got this big window job over here. Oh, there's a big deep clean over here, or I can do a strip and wax over here. And you almost look at it like, oh, that's extra free money for me, you know? And it's number one, you're like, oh, you see the dollar signs in your mind and you kind of go blind a little bit because at that point you're like, I'll take any kind of money I can get. And sometimes it works out and sometimes you get hammered by the change of scope of work. And I'm going to talk about staffing here in a minute about the difference with those things. But I will let you guys know, I took a deep cleaning job. It was probably, 3 years ago. Mm. And I was even with Mike at that time. And I'm like, Mike, I've done this before. He was a contractor for the federal government. They're doing a big addition for a local outfit here. And I'm like, I've done this before. I make good money. I'm going to do it again. He's like, I don't know if you should, dude. I wouldn't do it. And I bid it out and then they changed the scope of work on me and then threatened to sue me if I didn't go forward with the different scope of work in my current pricing. So they really hosed me and I'm a tiny little company on their blurb. So they would crush me. So obviously I just went ahead and did it. And I was set in with locked in with a certain price and they hammered me. I had to take like a, SBA loan to keep my business floating.
Wow.
And now I'm just digging myself out of debt, which we're running a good profitable business, but that, let that be as a reminder.
Cautionary tale
for you people thinking, oh man, that's an extra 60 to 80 grand. It'll take me 3 months of work. Okay, cool. Well, it was supposed to be 3 months of work. It turned into almost a year of work.
Oof.
So
yeah. Well, you said some things are really important here. And I want to point this out to Clean Nation. For all of you out there, we get it, right? Most owners have been there where things are tight. Maybe the reoccurring isn't coming in as steady as you want it. And the grass always looks greener on that on that one time side, right?
Yeah.
And you think, gosh, you know, I just need the money. Part of the challenge, a big part of the challenge beyond scope creep and all the other things that go along is staffing. And with the challenges that everybody is facing right now in trying to attract really great people and keep them and employ them, I'd love to hear from you, Spencer, what the difference is between having recurring business versus the sporadic nature of one time or seasonal or, you know, not recurring business has on staffing.
Well, people like stability in everything. And your employees are the same way. They like to be able to see a schedule that's out, you know, at least a week or a week and a half. And they love it to see 2 weeks out, you know, like, oh, I can plan my life. I can actually have a life. Whereas if you take on, and that's possible, it's reoccurring work. But when you take on Jim Bob's Diner and Louie Lou's carpet cleaning on the side or a window cleaning for the government, and then you're like, well, I've got so many hours during the day, this day, but the rest of my hours are at night over here.
Oh.
People are like, dude, you're killing us. You told us this was going to be mostly a night job, and now you're asking us to do hours during the day. You know, I had stuff already planned with my kids and stuff during the day. And you'll luck out once in a while and you'll find someone that just wants to work whenever you want them to work. But most people want that stability and saying, you know, I want to have a life outside of this business that I'm working for. It just doesn't typically work very well. And your turnover goes up and the happiness level meter in your company, employee wise and teammate wise, goes down.
And that's culture that speaks to building culture within your company. And all of these factors really do contribute. You know, once upon a time, a few years back, when you could just slap up an ad, you know, for employees and then make them jump through all these hoops and, you know, you're the one in command and demand. It's flipped now. And the truth is, if we're going to attract and retain and keep good people, we have to change the way we're doing business and building culture, having a really great, stable environment for them to work is really, really important. Speaking to that, I'd love to hear from someone who's been in business for a bit. You've been with Grow My Cleaning Company for a while. And you're also still in the hiring place where you need to hire consistently. What would you say is the one thing that most people, most cleaning company owners misunderstand or don't get about the current employment environment? What do you think is one thing that's either a misunderstanding or they don't know about hiring right now?
Right now, you really have to cater more towards your potential teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, we are doing so much more hand holding right now to bring them through the steps of, hey, you hit apply on an Indeed or Facebook. Cool. You know, sending messages. Let's make sure you get signed up for our event that's on Calendly. So you have reminders coming through.
Yes.
And then once they get signed up for Calendly, okay, well now Calendly sending reminders, text messages, and emails. You obviously know they're probably not getting the emails because they don't check those. So what we have done now, because of this hiring crisis, we actually have another VA texting alongside Calendly, just giving fun messages, using it, you know, just the way we talk in our business and, you know, and just having some fun with these people, just saying, hey, we're so excited to see you this upcoming interview. If you're really sick and tired of people looking over your shoulder every second, making sure you're doing the right job, this is the place for you. And we're getting a higher turnout because of that. So the big thing for us, I would say the biggest thing that people are not doing is just thinking that what you've done the last 5 years will continue to work today. And if it's not working today, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to give up because there's nothing else I can do because this used to work all the time and now it's not. And I've seen companies outside of cleaning companies close up shop and I'm like, and it's all because of staff. And I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, it's a, and you said some really important things there, Spencer. I want to make sure that everybody really got this. One is, if you're still doing what you've been doing the last 5 years and it's not working, what a lot of the, if you're still in business and you're still trying to truck along, what typically what happens is many of you will just kind of go to warm body syndrome, right? And just kind of get a little desperate and start hiring people that you would normally never hire. And what I heard you say, Spencer, is so important. Right now, building and conveying culture, a positive, upbeat, attractive, right? Internal culture is what's really key. You don't compromise on that. You don't go backwards. That's the worst thing, right? Is now, I love that you said we have a VA that's reaching out to them and with fun, upbeat messages and inviting them in and showing that you're not just a paycheck, that you're not just some other place is just, you know, trying to hound them to come to work for them. What it also does, it shows the employee who really does care about your core values that also has similar core values, they want to work with for and with someone who is like them and who cares. Yep. And they're not looking to just be another warm body either. Yep. So I think that's really, really important. Another thing I know that you do in that process, and this is something that came up last night in our workshop. We had a best practices workshop with all of our current members. And one thing that was a theme around hiring was how much more visible you need to be as a brand. So if you're on social media, no longer is it okay for just sit there and do nothing. No, not posting pictures, not Google My Business, you know, updating, not having content out there. This is important more than ever, because guess what? Clients are not the only ones who are Googling you when they're applying for a job. They're going to look you up. So I know, Spencer, you and your company do a lot around that. Maybe you can share some of the things that you, as a company, that you post and where you do that, so that if somebody was wanting to come to work for you, they could look you up and find you.
Yeah, we try to, you know, keep things up to date on Google My Business. You try to at least do some new picture or something every month. We need to be better with our social media, but when we do post stuff, it really speaks like volumes. Like, we just had a Christmas party and we had a photographer there with it that had like our old background, Merry Christmas and, you know, new clean. So our employees would get up there and my management staff got up there and we had this goofiest little pose. You know, I put my leg up and my operation manager was holding it and we're just being goofballs and we post that. You know, we don't post the serious stuff. We post what, you know, these are the leaders of this company. We're just having fun, you know, so people can really see, like, wow, from the job posting, these guys seem crazy and fun. And now it's trickling down. They're seeing that same theme going across all of our platforms.
Yes. You know? Yes, exactly. You hit it right on the head, Spencer. That is exactly what everyone was saying yesterday in the workshop that we were doing is, you have to be consistent around who you are, your brand, your culture, and putting that out there in more than one place. No more. Gone are the days where you just post an ad and then expect good quality people to come and to stay. And this really translates into client acquisition also, attracting clients. And I know you're in commercial, and there are a lot of commercial cleaners out there listening in today. Spencer, what would you say is one of the things that's different about today's environment in attracting and winning bids with commercial clients that maybe Clean Nation isn't quite up to speed with yet? What do you think has changed?
People are, you know, more than ever, they're more, you know, in tune and they're more with it, with what's going on. Like they're done finding people that are just going to phone it in. Mm-hmm. And we have some sales funnels on our homepage and stuff that speak the same type of theme as our hiring, as our everything else. And we've gotten some really good success from it just because they're like, man, you guys just seem very authentic. Mm. And yeah, you're a goofball. And when we go through the funnel, like there's a video of me. And I remember one of my bigger clients I got from this was saying, you spoke exactly the things I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. I went back and watched that same video. I'm like, gosh, dang, I'm an idiot. That is probably one of my worst videos, but I was myself. I was just whatever. And apparently it spoke to what she needed to hear. So I didn't change it, even though I didn't think it was very good. So I just think they're in tune and they want people that are just authentic and are going to take care of them. You know, they don't. I think the days of the smooth sales guy are coming to an end because they see through that. They want to see those mistakes and the bumbling and here and there. You know, like obviously you want to seem competent, but like own stuff that you make up, you know, make mistakes on. Or if you're talking to someone, just, you know, it's not a big deal to make mistakes. That's human nature. And they kind of want to see that.
I love that. And, you know, you said something really important. I want to circle back around. And again, the landscape has changed. If you're doing what you did 5 years ago and expecting it to continue to work, whether it's client attraction or employee attraction, you got to rethink that, guys. Everyone out there, this is a different day and age. This is a different landscape. What you said was you've got to be authentic and you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to go beyond the comfort zone of being. I always say this, nice doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. Homogenized, boring, same old marketing, same old stuff. It's like, nobody cares. They are going to tune you out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what Spencer said so perfectly is I was myself. We're kind of goofy. We're authentic. We make mistakes, but I even love your company's guarantee around that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share that with everyone.
Yeah, it's the we're not perfect guarantee, you know, because when I first started with Mike, I just tell, you know, he would ask me, what do you say to clients when you're talking to them, potential clients? I said, well, number one, I tell them we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but we're going to be there to cover it when we do. He says, there's your guarantee. So what happens is, you know, if we have an unsatisfactory service and we don't fix it within 24 hours, the service is on us and they get a credit on their account. So we hold
that's
our
super authentic. Mm-hmm. That's super authentic. I love that, Spencer. And see, that's the kind of thing I think a lot of business owners are afraid to do. They're like, oh no, gosh, I gotta be like everybody else. I can't go too far outside of the box. I've got to act like we never make mistakes.
Yes.
Right.
We are superior cleaners. We never make mistakes.
Right. Right. And not only is that not achievable or attainable, it sets up really bad expectations. It's not good relationship building. And I know that's one of the things over the course of the years that you've been with Mike and Grow My Cleaning Company inside our Millionaire Mastermind is you've been able to scale. Yep. Not just, you know, a lot of times people go, oh, I want to have $1 million business in revenue, but scaling is more than revenue, right, Spencer?
Oh, for sure.
What would you say is the number one key that you feel has made the difference in being able to scale versus just grow?
Mindset.
Nice. Yes.
That's the big one. I felt like when I first started with Mike, I was just like frothing from the mouth, hungry. You know, I was like, just I'm out there cashing checks and snapping necks and I'm wanting to cash more checks. But, and I had that drive and I was just like, why is it not coming a little faster? Even though I was growing still. Mm-hmm. But I've just learned that through the mindset of having, you know, there's bad times that happen. There's good times that happen. But instead of riding that bad time so far beneath the surface, it's just small dips and small raises. And that keeps me more positive and just keeps, I like to say having an attitude of gratitude at all time. Because there's so much we have to be grateful for in our lives, our families, our health, you know, the roof over our heads and the food we eat. If you really look at all that kind of stuff, you start seeing that gratitude come into your life, just flood into your life. Mm. And the growth and the money, all that stuff just comes because you're the person that your clients want you to be. at that point.
You know? I love that. And you know, I, of course, as a mindset coach myself for our clients, I always say mindset comes first. It just does. Everything, believe it or not, even if you are out there thinking, you know, just tell me what to do, the mindset doesn't have anything to do with it. The interesting thing is, I know you, Spencer, and many of the other members have had this experience where Mike has taught what to do. Mm-hmm. And there was some sort of block, right? You're like, well, you know, okay, maybe I'll try it a different way, or let me try that later, or, well, you know, I can just skip that part. And found out later that that mindset didn't serve you, and when you implemented what you were being taught. So it wasn't a knowledge thing. It was a mindset thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. It's so true. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about that. It's just, that's exactly right. You got to have that positivity.
Yes, absolutely. So when you're looking to make a change, Clean Nation, you know, you've gotten some really great gold nuggets here today from Spencer. Hopefully you've taken some notes. You're going to check out his company. How do you spell your, you spell it different. Tell them how you spell it.
NUCLEANE.
Awesome. .com.
Yep.
Okay. Well, check Mr. Spencer out, see what he's up to, see what he's doing. He also has a podcast, which is very cool. Yep. And that's one of his other strategies. That'll be a podcast for a different day, but check out Spencer online. And let's just one last lightning round. What would you say is your biggest piece of advice today for Clean Nation?
Well, in light of the passing of the late, great John Madden, I was watching something last night about him, and he said, the road to Easy Street leads through the sewer. Mm. And I love that, because I'm like, I was thinking about, I'm like, that's pretty negative. But at the same time, like, you know what though? You have to be able to know that this journey as a business owner, and especially in the cleaning business, is not going to be an easy one, you know. But even though you're going to have those ups and downs, and you're going to have those hard moments that you're going to sit down with your partner or your spouse within business and say, how do we get through this? Just know that what Tracy's saying about mindset is the very key. You know, you can have your numbers right, you can have everything dialed in, but if you have this crisis mindset and the sky is falling, you'll always feel like you're just in the sewer, even though you have a good company and you're about to pop up onto Easy Street, you know? So anyways, I would say that.
I love that. I love that. Love that. And Clean Nation, the truth is the Easy Street that Spencer's talking about oftentimes comes in the form of just being comfortable with our own bad patterns, right? And that becomes the Easy Street, the path of least resistance, that ironically is the thing that's keeping you stuck. So I just want to end today by saying, if you're out there and you're ready to rock the new year, we're doing this in December. So if you're listening later, it's probably already 2022. But here's the thing. If you're ready to make a change, you're ready to level up, you're ready to take your business to that next level, we are here for you. We are here. So reach out, go to growmycleaningcompany.com and /talk if you'd like to have a conversation with one of our coaches and talk about what that would look like for you. We are here to help. So thank you so much, Spencer, for joining us. And we will see you on the other side.
Thanks.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.